And I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go a completely different direction. If you'll open your copy of God's Word with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Let's step away from 1 Peter this morning and pick it up next week. Let's go to Ephesians this morning, and I will share those letters with you. Let me just talk with you for a moment today about what God is doing here in this body. Let me ask you to stand in reverence of reading of God's perfect and precious Word. As you do that, let me say thank you to the staff that I have the privilege to work with for their kind words. I am overwhelmed with their kindness to me, the deacons that I have the privilege to serve with as well. Ephesians chapter 3, look with me at verse 7. Actually, pick up with me at verse 6. The mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of His power to me. Though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who has created in all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that He has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in Him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I'm suffering for you, which is your glory. Let's pray. Oh God, I pray that You would own these moments for Your glory. You have ordained this day. You have ordained this time. You have ordained this celebration of the gospel. You have already given us powerful words of testimony in the baptistry today. Lord, I'm so thankful for the kindness that You have shown me. And Lord, I pray that Your word would be powerful to us in these moments. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I hope I'm not stepping on Pastor Jeremy's toes in any way this morning, because he's going to open God's Word tonight for us about the glory of the church as we begin a series on Sunday evenings. But let me just share with you a couple of things and point to some realities about why I am so encouraged about what God is doing in this body in these days. As we look at the letter to the church at Ephesus, which was almost certainly a circular letter that was passed out through the churches, we see something that keeps coming up, something that reminds us of a pattern that we are supposed to embrace for our own life. And that is, these letters keep starting out, just like we saw, we see in 1 Peter that we've been working through together, with this explosion of praise that takes us all the way back to eternity past and swings us all the way back out to eternity future, because it wants to situate our lives in the context of the eternal purposes of God. He keeps telling us, don't miss it. You're a part of something grand and glorious and eternal. You're a part of the eternal sweep of history. Don't miss it. Not only history, but an eternal sweep of history that's going to end in the consummation of the kingdom of Christ that will never know any end. You're a part of the gospel that will end in triumph to the praise and glory and honor of Jesus Christ. And so in Ephesians chapter 1, we see things like election, and we see things like predestination, and we see things like an eternal inheritance, and people get worked up about that and look at those things like they're abstract sort of realities, and yet that's not why they're in Ephesians 1 at all. All those realities are in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. All things it tells us in Ephesians 1 are summed up in Christ. And it is pointing us to the reality that these things are here for us to be blessed. These are words of comfort. These are words that we are to read and not sort of coffee shop debate about. But these are words that we are to read and say, oh, look. No matter what we're going through, no matter what we're facing, no matter the challenges and the difficulties, look at what we're a part of. Look at it. God is at work in our lives. God has purposes in our lives. God is unfolding His purposes in our lives, and He allows us to be a part of it. And the us is not just a particular group. It's not just a particular ethnicity. It's not just a particular club. It's not just a particular sect. It's not just a particular geographical region. It's not just a particular aspect of culture. It's not just the West. It's not just the East. It's not just anything. It's every tribe and tongue and nation. And there are all of these outer distinctions that people make. There are distinctions that nothing else could tear down. There is Jew and Gentile. There are those that look at one another, and in and of themselves, they look and they look over there and they say, not even human, dog. And they look over and say, your air of superiority, you make me sick. And the gospel comes in and says, one. And we gather today, in all of the outer distinctions that so many people embrace and that everyone embraces apart from Jesus Christ, are crushed by the hammer of the gospel. And by God's grace, we have the privilege to see that in that baptistry. And we have had the privilege to witness that in these days. And we have had the privilege to see that as people have traveled around the world and taken children whose brothers and sisters have literally been left in the streets to die. And now there are two little boys. And when they are on a T-ball team this year, planted on the back of their jerseys, it's going to say Haskins. And others, the same thing's happening. We see the power of the gospel in our midst, and that's what we're a part of. And as we look around this congregation, we understand that we are a part of something that is something unusual. And it's something unusual because what we see happening here doesn't fit the paradigm of the church growth and church marketing models today. This is not a niche ministry. If we say, hey, hold up your footwear, everybody's not wearing the same thing. Some people are going to be wearing flip-flops, but not everybody. And if we say, look, what are you wearing? Some people have ties on and some people don't. Some people came in here with walkers and some people didn't. And that's glorious. Some people in here like Southern gospel music and some people don't. And it's wonderful. That's glorious. Some people like jazz and some people don't. Praise God. Some people like Pastor Jeremy like hair gel. I don't. I don't even like hair. Some people like Casey sit around at restaurants and ask if the chicken is hormone free. I want it jammed full of hormones. I want it as fat as it can be. That's great. What is pictured for us in here in Ephesians 1 about the glory of the gospel? It tells us in Ephesians 2 is the obliteration of outer distinctions. All of those secondary things that are all of the dividing walls that we build up and say, look, this is my tribe, and this is why my tribe is better than your tribe, and we do it for self-protection, to build walls, to feel better about ourselves. The gospel is a wrecking ball of good news, because in the end, all of those tribes are going to be swept away. And the gospel wrecking ball comes in and says, there is only one tribe in the end that matters, and its king is Jesus. And it is not a tribe, it is a kingdom, and it knows no end. And when the church gathers, what you see is not just simply a niche of people who all look alike and would join the same club together. You see a group of people who are so diverse and so different who the gospel can bring together. And what you see, it tells us here in these verses, is described as the manifold wisdom of God and the eternal purpose of God. And it is a declaration that's made known. It says to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. I got news for you. A group of people gathered together in some sort of niche group does not scare Satan. Anybody could pull it off. Right now, at this moment, there's every kind of niche group you can imagine meeting. The times I've been in California and I've stayed in hotel rooms, one time I wandered in to a former marijuana smoker, Orthodox priest, New Age support group. There's enough of those to have a meeting. You can gather together a niche group for anything. No big deal. But when people with all kinds of outer distinctions bind together because they've been transformed by something that rises above all of them and transforms all of their thinking, the transforming power of the gospel, that has the stamp of the wisdom of God and the eternal purpose of God upon it. And when that happens, no matter what you face, when you're part of that, don't lose heart. Vicki Booth is precious to me. She is a delightful encourager in my life. Variety of issues and problems. She wrote a letter. She said I could share this. Doesn't have a lot of resources. Man, she loves Jesus. Has a lot of health problems. But man, she loves Jesus. Been in the church a while. Pastor David and church family. 2 months ago, my health came to a place where I was unable to get into our truck. Members of our church came to our rescue on every level. Each one met our needs, rescuing us in our time of need, both physically and personally. And by the way, it was some of our young men who came to her rescue at one situation. They went above and beyond. They came to us and they met our needs within our home. Through several of our deacons, we now have a van for handicapped people. Thank God I'm now mobile again, and one of our young ladies came out and cut my hair. We know much prayer has been offered on our behalf. By love, prayer, and action, God met our needs. And Ephesians 3:21 was fulfilled. Thus God's glory was shown. Ephesians 3:21 says, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Somebody else in a very different situation. Derek and Leighton Lawler. They knew they were going to be here a year. He was medical internship here, both advanced degrees, upwardly mobile. Came to us from the Washington, D.C. area, headed back there, living in Alexandria, Virginia now. Situations couldn't be any more diverse. Pastor David, this letter is long overdue. Forgive us for not making our goodbyes in person when we moved back to the D.C. area this summer. Quite honestly, we could not face saying goodbye to you all. Instead, we've tried to share a bit of what is in our heart in this letter. We were blessed beyond measure during our year in Lexington, Kentucky, largely due to the ministry and fellowship of Ashland Avenue Baptist Church. God was so incredibly good to lead us to you. Pastor David, your sermons convicted our hearts time and time again. Thanks for penetrating our lives with the truth and for using God's word to shine a spotlight on our sins. We are so grateful for the way God used you to conform our hearts to his word week after week. We were blessed by the fellowship at Ashland Avenue Baptist Church as well, though we came from a church in Washington, D.C., Capitol Hill Baptist Church, is known for a deliberate vision of how a healthy church should function. We truly learned what a healthy church looks like by watching you. It was so encouraging to see so many members serving and using their gifts to build up the body of Christ. No matter the occasion, we were always struck to see how many members worked together to serve cheerfully. Fellowship among the saints such as these came so easily. We are truly grateful for every moment that we had the privilege to spend with you. One of the great blessings of our time at Ashland Avenue was to sit at the feet of Bob and Beth Johnson. What a blessing to be a part of the Genesis class and to learn week after week. No matter what the ministry, it seemed that Beth was always there as well, working tirelessly and without fanfare. The fact that the two of them took in our entire family during the ice storm is a perfect picture of their care and compassion for us. We are so grateful for them and for the fact that their care for us is just one example of the way an entire congregation of Ashland Avenue Baptist Church loves and cares for one another. There is no way to come close to naming all the ways we were blessed by Ashland Avenue Baptist Church. Please know that you have touched our lives deeply, and we are so grateful to God for you and for the chance we had to live and to serve with you, and you are forever in our prayers. Two different people. Two walks of life so different. Two situations so remarkably different. And yet, you have impacted them so richly. Why? Because the gospel is transforming this body. Whether you're rich or poor, black or white, or anything in between. And you know what? That declares the wisdom of God to the rulers and authorities and principalities and powers. That is a display of the eternal purpose of God. And the glory of God is in that. And I don't want to kid anybody. We are far from a perfect congregation. We have all kinds of faults. I have all kinds of faults as a shepherd. But God is doing something here special. And it is a privilege to be a part of it, warts and all. And I get the privilege to peek and see things like this. This is no small thing. This is the manifold wisdom of God. The body acting like the body to everybody. The unfolding of the eternal purpose of God happening over with an older lady and a van, happening with a young couple and a medical degree, happening with international students over at UK, happening everywhere in between. This, by God's grace, this ragtag group of folks who had never planned an outing together apart from the gospel, can and will transform Lexington and the world because of the gospel. I'm so glad to be a part of it. Join me in prayer.